are the great I am. You are ever presently with us. You are able to deliver us, to help us, to set us free, to lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, in the way that we should go. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We give you glory and honor and praise. For truly, we trust in you with all of our heart. We lean not to our own understanding, but we acknowledge you in all of our ways, that you may direct our path. So, Father, direct our path tonight. Lead, guide, and direct this service, Lord, this time together. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we just take a moment. And Lord, we just take a moment to listen to your voice and to hear what you're saying to us in this hour. When I appeared to Moses, he said, "The Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to move. But if your presence goes, then I will go." And I'm here to say tonight that that very same presence that led the Israelites through the wilderness is here to lead and guide and direct you through this life. I know the way in which you should go. And I have prepared a path for you that you should walk in it. So take my hand and follow my light and walk on the path that I have for you. Because my path will cause your feet to have a firm foundation and a steady path. Oh, stay on the path that I have for you, for on it you will find blessing, goodness, and grace along the way. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You believe God's got a path for you?
Yes.
You never want to veer off that path. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. They are doing an awesome job. Always right on. For the ladies, there's a woven meeting that's for women of victory enjoying new life. So if you're a woman of victory and you enjoy new life, they're going to meet on Saturday, October 11th at 10 a.m. It's available to all women 13 and older. And also, if you'd like to join us for our holiday dinner, we have a dinner on Saturday, November 1st from 4 to 6 p.m. It's a great time, and lots of food. There's going to be entertainment, and if you'd like to just come and fellowship with us, we'd love to have you. It's going to be a great time, so mark that on your calendar. Also, Wednesday, October 29th, we're going to have a first-time guest that we've never had before. He's the director of Rhema Austria, and he's going to be with us because he's in the area. And so we look forward to having him here. And that's a person that teaches Bible students. So it'll be a great blessing to us. So mark that on the calendar, Wednesday, October 29th. It'll be a great time. Amen. And like always, you know, every time you give to VCF, did you know that your gifts are prayed for twice? We pray for them here, and then when they're in the office, we pray over them. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor it is to give into your kingdom. Lord, we do it in faith. We do it out of a generous heart simply because we love you. And, Lord, I pray a blessing over every gift and every giver. multiply them, take care of them, sustain them, prosper them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the book of Ephesians. We've been talking about the best place to be. The best place to be is a place that's accessible to all. It's where you can go and encourage others to go too. It's a place that benefits those who are there. It's a place that you can go to anytime, and it is available every day. It's a place that refreshes your soul, casts out your fears. It invigorates you with new life. It encourages you, inspires you, and strengthens you. It's a place of rest, a source of joy, and a safe place. It's a peaceful and fun place. The best place to be is in Christ. Amen? Amen? Yes. And if you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, we've been basically going through the New Testament, and we've been looking at Christ being the best place to be and why that is. And I'll tell you what, this gets me excited. And you know, the Lord laid on my heart two things. Christ is like a master key. You know, when you have a master key, maybe you work in a building and you have a master key. Well, that key opens up every other door, right? If someone loses their key, there's a master key that can open and unlock the door. And secondly, Christ is like the highest security clearance in a government. You know, when you have a high security clearance, you can meet with people who other people can't ordinarily meet with. You can go to places where people can't ordinarily go because you've been given a high security clearance. And Christ is like a master key. And he says, when I open a door, no man can shut it. And he's like security clearance. So when you have Christ in your heart, you've been given heaven's highest security clearance. And you can go to places, you can experience things that people who don't have that security clearance can experience. Amen? Yeah. And when you have Christ in your heart, you get access to all of God's kingdom, all of heaven's best. He shows you the riches of all the things that he's done for you and that he wants you to have and wants you to do. And it's just incredible. The access to God that we have through Christ Jesus. Amen? So let's look at this. Let's go to Ephesians. We're in chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 3. Now, if this don't get you excited, I don't know what will. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. I like not going to already has. Isn't that true? Yeah. He already has blessed us, past tense, with a few spiritual blessings. Huh? Doesn't say a few?
No.
How many spiritual blessings?
All.
All spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places in Christ. So I want you to see yourself already possessing spiritual blessings. Why a spiritual blessing? Everything comes from the Spirit. Who is God? God is a what? God's a spirit. His words are spirit and life. So spirit produces everything that we see in this world, right? So we have spiritual blessings, which means that can produce anything that we need in life. Okay? And we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. You were chosen in Christ. He chose you before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Well, I tell you what, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So Christ is the key to receiving every spiritual blessing. All right? When you're in Christ, you're in God's family. You're in God's household, and you're in God's kingdom. How many know that you're in a kingdom? And that this kingdom is run by a king. His name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He rules and reigns. And he has a way of operation in his kingdom that's different than the way of the world. Okay? When Jesus came into the world, he did things differently than the world did it. He did it according to the kingdom of God. He came to preach the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of God is near. So we need to take our spiritual blessings that we've been blessed with, and we need to build up the kingdom of God. Because, it's our kingdom that he put us in. And you've been predestined, you've been adopted, and you're accepted. If you've been looking for a place to be accepted, Christ accepts you. You can come just as you are, but I guarantee you, when you come to Christ, you won't stay just as you are. Anybody ever notice that? Anybody ever change when coming to Christ? I'm a whole lot different now than what I was before Christ. Yeah, you can come just as you are, but I guarantee you, you won't stay just as you are. Because Christ will enhance your life. Go down to verse 10. It says that the dispensation, or the era, a dispensation is a period of time, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom also you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So Christ is the centerpiece of God's goodness. God put all of his goodness in Christ Jesus. And when Christ came to this earth, he demonstrated God's goodness. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he healed people. He delivered people. He cast demons out. He set people free. And anyone who came to him, he never turned away. So you got to think, Christ is the centerpiece. You know, when you go to a nice dinner, when you ladies were at the tea, on that table there was a centerpiece. The centerpiece grabs your attention and it grabs your focus, right? Because it's in the center. And it's usually something to depict the theme of whatever's taking place. But it's the centerpiece, and Christ is the centerpiece of God's goodness. When you want to see the goodness of God, all you have to do is look to Christ. He's that beautiful centerpiece that demands our focus, that demands our worship. He doesn't demand, but he's certainly the only one worthy of it. He'll never demand, but you know what? He said, if you're not going to worship me, I'll listen to the rocks. That tells me that God was into rock and roll. So God's going to gather all things in Christ. Christ is the key to our inheritance. We have an inheritance. That word is probably the most exciting word to me in the Bible. I love that word inheritance, as if you didn't know already. But that word strikes a passion and a chord in me. And I get so excited when people start walking in their inheritance. That's what excites me. When you get a hold of your inheritance and you start walking it out and you start seeing God do the things that he said he would do in your life, it's an awesome thing. And I I just want to help people find their inheritance and treasure in God's word. And you know, he chose us, he purposed for you to be here tonight long before you were ever here. All right, let's go down to verse 17. Ephesians is probably the one that's chocked full of all the things about Christ. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I like that. He didn't say been enlightened, because the light that God gives is progressive. In other words, Proverbs 4 talks about how the light of the righteous gets brighter and brighter as the noonday sun. You know, the more you walk with God, the brighter your life can be. The brighter your light will shine. Okay? That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So Christ is the key to God's wisdom. He is our wisdom. Christ is the key to God's power working in us. You know, everything that God did in Christ, he did it for us. But Christ is the one where we have access to it all. Let's go to chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. If there's any person that never thinks that they're loved, look at the kind of love that God loves you with, his great love. Say, I'm loved with a great love. Yeah, God loves you greatly. Anybody that's going to do what he did demonstrates that he loves you. But when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now just stop for a minute. Where is Christ sitting right now? Where? Beside the Father, at God's right hand, right? Now where are we seated? Beside him at God's right hand. Because if we're in Christ, we get all the benefits, we get all the perks that he gets. And because he's sitting near he's sitting at the Father's right hand, and when we put our faith in Christ, then we get elevated. You've been given access to God's penthouse. Okay? Notice, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, if we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, then we just got to sit there. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. Our God is so good that it's going to take him ages just to show us how good he really is. I mean, his goodness surpasses our ability to comprehend it. It's going to take him ages. Millenniums. It's going to take him ages just to show us how good he really is. That is awesome. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, yet not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. When he says we are his workmanship, you know what that word is? It's the word for masterpiece. Say, I am God's masterpiece. And he created you in Christ Jesus for what kind of works? Good works. So don't think about quitting before your good works are done. All right? You can't quit until you can say, I'm finishing my course with joy. If you haven't, if you don't have that full joy yet, you're not ready to go. Wherefore, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So people who are without Christ, they are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They are strangers from the covenants of promise. They have no hope, and they're without God in the world. But they don't have to be that way. See, being in Christ is the most easiest thing someone can do. All they have to do is accept Jesus as their Savior. And that changes their whole position. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Whoo, that's a mouthful. You know, Christ is the key to our peace. You know, we were dead in sins, but in Christ we're made alive. So we were sinners. As a sinner, we were separated from the life of God. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. We needed a Savior. So Christ came. He paid the price, paid it in full, died on the cross, took our sins away. And now he repaired the breach that we made with the Father. And because of what Christ has done now, all who put their faith in Christ Jesus, you've been given access into the heavenly realm, into the beloved. You have access to the one who is love. So he created us in peace. He reconciled us to God. See, Christ is the key to an everlasting, abundant, and victorious life. I don't know, do you get excited about everlasting, victorious, abundant life? Do those words excite you? Okay. So we sit together in heavenly places in Christ. This is where he shows us the exceeding riches of his grace. You're sitting there with Christ, you're just hanging out with Christ, and you're seeing, you're like, whoa. That's for me? I mean, think about little orphan Annie. She had a rough time in the orphanage, but when she got to Daddy Warbucks' house and she saw all the things that she had access to now that she didn't have access to before, you know, she was overwhelmed. And we're just like that when we didn't know what we had, but Christ came and we accept him in our heart. And now God is continually showing us his goodness. He's showing us his power. He's demonstrating his life to us. And we just get to sit there as participants because we simply believe in Christ. That's why Christ is the best place to be. He shows us the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us. We have a kind God, a gracious God, a loving Father, a forgiving Father. For all the messes and mistakes that we made, he forgives us. He releases us from a debt that we could never pay. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of your debt. And just like the guy with the good Samaritan, he said, if he requires more days, he said, when I come back, I'll settle up with you. In other words, he took care of him. God takes care of us. We have a God who cares for us. We are created in Christ as his masterpiece. We're created for good works prepared by him. In Christ Jesus, we are brought near through his blood. We can sit on Daddy's lap. We can cry, Abba, Father. We can be the beneficiaries that he created us to be. We can go and do his will with power and grace. We can do the same works that he did. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the same works that I do, you shall do also, but greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Do you realize he only walked the earth for 33 and a half years. He ministered for 33 and a half years out of that time. And he gave us everything that we need to go on and do what he did, what he began. So while you're hanging out with the Father in heavenly places, and he's downloading things into you, he's revealing things into you, we're supposed to take that and we're supposed to go into the world and use it. That's really what it's designed for. We're supposed to further the work that he began in us. And Christ gives us access to the Father through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Christ is the best place to be. It's the easiest place to be. When you came to Christ, he didn't ask you for your social security number, your driver's license. All he asked was for a heart that believes and a mouth that confesses. Call upon the Lord and you shall be saved. How simple can that be? He made it simple because he doesn't want anybody excluded. Whew. Let's go to chapter 3. I feel like I'm eating a rich piece of cake that just melts in your mouth. Not too sweet, just moist. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Ooh, that's good. So technically, those of us who aren't Jewish, we were engrafted in to the Jewish heritage through adoption. We get the same rights and the same benefits as the people who were born to Abraham. We are Abraham's children, the Bible says, by faith. When you believe in Christ, you are a son and a daughter of Abraham, and you get all of his benefits. So the mystery of Christ, see, Christ is the key to understanding the mystery. Why? You know what he told his disciples? He said, I don't call you servants, but I call you friends. Because the master doesn't always tell what he's doing to his servants, but he does disclose what he's doing to his friends. And Jesus will disclose things to those who are his friends, all right? To those who honor him and believe in him and walk with him. And, so then it's no longer a mystery. Did you know that it's been given to us to understand mysteries? You know, there used to be a phrase in the body of Christ, "Oh, God works in mysterious ways." Really? Well, he tells me what the mysterious ways are, so it's not a mystery to me. That's how you got to think about it. God's not some mystic. Yeah, to the world it may seem mysterious, but to those who know God, it's not mysterious. Let me show you how this works. Jesus would speak in parables out in public. And those who had a desire to know what he was talking about, they'd find the answer. But when he got alone with his disciples would say, "What did you mean when you said this, Jesus?" And he would disclose what he was talking about. He would give them understanding that the people in the public didn't get to get. How many know you got to be a person who seeks God? If you want answers, you got to be a seeker. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, the Bible said. Okay? So, we are fellow heirs, we are part of his body, and partakers of the promise. I like that. Did you know that you are a partaker of the promise? You share in the promise, you get a piece of the promise pie. And there's more than enough pieces to go around. You can keep cutting out of the promised pie and everybody will still get a piece. It's like the feeding of the 5,000 men. He kept pulling fish and bread out until everybody was full. And when everybody was full, they still had 12 baskets left over. And that all stemmed from one little boy's lunch. I bet that little boy got those baskets. So, the power of Christ operated in Paul, which helped him to minister effectively. What power is going to operate in you? Same power. You know what? Christ likes to share his power with those who believe. Even those, you know, Jesus was walking one day. Did you know that he was a walking powerhouse for God? How do I know that? Because one day when he was walking, he didn't even know that there was a woman who purposed in her heart, she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." Now, one of the gospels say that she touched the hem of his garment. Maybe in her weakened state, making her way through the crowd, that was as far as she could get. Okay? But she when she touched him, what happened? The Bible said power went out of him. They used the word virtue, but that word virtue is really power. Jesus said, something went out of me. He felt it go out of him. And he said, "Who touched me?" Now the disciples were puzzled because there was a lot of people touching him. How many know? There's a lot of people touching God, but they're not touching him in faith. They're just trying to see what would happen. But they don't really have faith, but that woman had faith. And how many know a touch of faith is different than any other touch? And immediately, her faith activated that power that was already there. When he went into the house that had no more seats, the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, who was there with the power? It was Jesus. But he gives that same power to us through the Holy Spirit. So we become effective workers with the power of God. You know, Elliot leads worship by the power of God, the same power that was in Christ. It causes him to do what he does. The same power that's in Christ will cause you to do what you do. Each one of us has a part. There was not one person that was created for nothing. Everyone is created for something. You're created to do something for the kingdom of God. And it's the same power. And the riches of Christ are abundant and unsearchable. There's simply too much. Did you know that Christ is too rich for you to figure out how rich he really is? Christ doesn't have to balance his spiritual checkbook because he's got too much. He just overflows. He is all about abundance. The thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I'm in favor of abundant life. I'm in favor of abundant health. I'm in favor of abundant provision. So we have to activate God's abundance. That might mean you may have to be more diligent about your flocks. You may have to watch over your flocks a little closer. What do I mean by your flocks? Anything that's a source of financial blessing for you, whether it's an investment or whatever, you know, you got to know the condition of your flocks. Amen? All right. Let's go down to verse 17, chapter 3. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Wait a minute. The Bible just said that you can know the love which passes knowledge. Is that not incredible? You can know something that goes beyond knowledge. How did you know that? God revealed it to me. God showed me. He said, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You can know something that passes knowledge. I find that so incredible. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Christ is the key to strong faith. Did you know that Christ operated in the same faith that he wants you and I to operate in? He told his disciples in Mark 11, 23, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Have the faith that comes from God. What does that faith do? That faith believes and that faith speaks. Okay? Faith has to be rooted and grounded in God's love. Galatians 5, 6 tells us that faith works by love. If you're having problems loving someone, then you're going to have problems operating in faith because they work together. That's like trying to drive your car without an engine. You'd have to be like Fred Flintstone. And you'd have to use foot power. So faith is rooted and grounded in God's love. Faith comprehends the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the Word of God. There are different levels, degrees, and ways that God works and moves. You know, Jesus made a distinguished between great faith and little faith. When the Roman centurion said, only speak the word and my servant shall be whole, Jesus marveled. He said, whoa, he said, that's great faith. But when Peter started to sink, he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus made a distinction of great faith and little faith. Now, here's the thing about faith. If your faith is little, you have the potential to make it bigger. You can work your faith out. You know, take your vitamins, the Gospels, the epistles, the prophets, and hear what God says, speak what God says, and do what he says. And that's how you exercise your faith. But faith comprehends the width, length, depth, and height of the Word of God. You can know Christ's love that passes knowledge. How do you do that? You know it by revelation and experience. There's been times where God has just come in your presence and he has just wrapped his arms around you. That may have occurred while you're laying on the floor, while you're standing up, or while you're sitting down. But we can know the love that passes knowledge through experience and revelation. Did you know that when God reveals the truth to you, it's almost greater than experiencing it? How did Peter know to call Jesus the Christ, the Son of the God, the Son of the living God? Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. What does that tell me? Revelation was a greater experience than experience. How many know that when God reveals truth to you, he shows you the reality of that truth? And when you know the reality of that truth, you don't actually have to experience it because you know it by revelation. Does that make sense? So those are the two ways that we know the love that passes knowledge. Whoo, I know a love that passes knowledge. Well, how do you know that? Through revelation and experience. When I say experience, in other words, you have an encounter with God yourself. You know, there was a time when Jacob struggled with who God wanted him to be and what God wanted him to do. But then he hooked up with God one day and wrestled all night. And although he went away limping, he became a prince of God. He settled his struggle. Sometimes that's like us. There's a struggle going on the inside, but it's really a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And sometimes your spirit has to wrestle with your flesh. You know, your spirit is kind of like a lion tamer sometimes. And it's got the chair and the whip and it's telling your flesh, get down, back down, you know? Your flesh wants to get out of control, but your spirit, we have to train ourselves to be spirit-led versus flesh-led. And when you come to Christ, before you came to Christ, I don't care what kind of a person you were a good person, you were flesh-led. You didn't become spirit-led until you let Christ come into your heart, but now you have a choice. You can still be flesh-led or you can be spirit-led. It is your choice. See, and that's what Christ does. Christ gives us that choice. We didn't have that choice before Christ, but when Christ comes in, now we have that choice. We don't have to go ahead and be motivated by the flesh. We can be led by the Spirit. How do I know that? There has been several people that have drugged their flesh out of bed when the flesh didn't want to get out of bed. You made your flesh do it. You know, when you drug your flesh to the gym, it didn't want to go there, but you made it go. Come on. Well, that's how we got to be now. Christ is the key to having the fullness of God. Right here. And to know the love of Christ, verse 19, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. How are you going to be filled with the fullness of God? You're going to have to excel in love. You're going to have to love God and you're going to have to love people. You're going to have to love your neighbor like yourself. You're going to have to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you excel in those two things, you will get the fullness of God. And really, what we have of the Holy Spirit now is just a down payment. Because eventually, we're going to trade up for incorruption. We're going to trade up for a glorified body. Won't that be an awesome day? But here's the thing. Until the day we trade up comes, you got to focus on the eternal and not the temporal. Yeah, this body is this flesh that we're in right now, it's perishing. But the inward man's being renewed day by day. And we just got to look at the bigger picture. You know, focus on the eternal things. And Christ can do above what you could ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly above what you could ask or think. Think about that. You can think about a lot of things. Christ is able to do above that. He always exceeds our expectations. You know, Peter just wanted to pay his taxes. And he didn't have his wallet with him, and neither did Jesus. But he had Jesus with him. So they showed up at the gate, and they said, okay, your temple tax is due. And Jesus was not at all worried. He wasn't concerned about how he was going to do it. He knew he was going to do it. He said, all right, Peter, why don't you just take your line, throw it in the water, and the first fish you catch is going to have two coins in its mouth, one for me and one for you. You know, Peter never thought that he would catch a fish with the gold coins in its mouth, first of all. I mean, he just did what Jesus said to do. And guess what? Their taxes were paid. You need to pay your taxes? God will help you pay your taxes. He said, give unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, give unto the Lord's what is Lord's. God wants you to pay your taxes. And we should be happy that we're able to. Amen. You know, the other day, we pay our quarterly taxes here at the church, and I put money aside for it, and I went to do the transfer from one account to the other, and I said to the teller, I said, oh, this is paying my tax. She says, I'm sorry. I said, oh, no, I'm glad. I said, we have the ability to pay it. I said, that's awesome. But I want you to know that Christ is the best place for you to be. And when you get in Christ, it doesn't stop there. It's a journey that lasts a lifetime. You're going to continue to find more things out about Christ that you didn't know today. And I just want to help you on the journey. Christ is so full of good things for you. And when you're in Christ, you're really in the best place that you could be. Because you're in a place where you know that your name is written in heaven. But you know what? Christ is practical. It's not just about the words, but it's also about the demonstration of his power. And we believe here in praying for people and laying hands on people. Because that's just one way that God touches people. And if you need a touch in your body, in your heart tonight, I know that there's an anointing to take care of that. And I just want to invite you to come up right now and to receive prayer. And Father, we give you thanks and praise that Christ is the key to our all in all. We can experience the goodness that is in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for your anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. Father, thank you right now that your anointing destroys any yoke, any restriction, any hindrance. It destroys sickness, disease, infirmity, and weakness. The anointing takes things that are wrong and makes them right. So, Father, right now, just touch her with the fullness that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, let her be rooted and grounded in your love and just experience the power that's in Christ Jesus, the power to restore and to repair.